Hello, welcome back to Coach Enya Below the Bar podcast. So I sound a bit nasally today. I just have a bit of a sore throat. I woke up with a bit of a sore throat. And I think I said on another podcast that, you know, when you're on a calorie deficit and you are sick, the worst thing you can do is try and fight it by going out and exercising. So I was on a walk. I just came back from a walk. And, you know, I don't have a temperature or anything like that. It's just a sore throat and a bit of a cough. But I'm debating now whether to go to the gym. Like, it's a rest day anyway, but I still have to do my cardio because I'm in photo shoot prep. But sometimes your health comes before fat loss. And at the moment, you know, I did my walk. I did a bit of energy expenditure. So I'm going to see how I feel later. And, you know, I'll reassess, is it even worth doing the cardio? Because I know that might do more damage than good. Being in a calorie deficit while you're sick is, it's actually not good for the body because your body needs fuel to recover. And, you know, it's burning calories by fighting infection or whatever it is that you have. And, you know, under eating probably isn't helping the situation. So I'm going to make sure I get a lot of greens into me today. I'm actually not very, you know, I'm not someone who gets sick a lot ever since I kind of adapted this lifestyle the last couple of years. Like, I wouldn't say I'm bedridden now, but like, I rarely ever get sick. I actually can't even remember the last time I was sick. So it's a bit strange to feel like this after so long of not being sick. But look, we move, we carry on. The best thing I can do is just take care of myself today and, you know, play it by ear. But anyway, I am currently in photo shoot prep and I'm halfway through now. So this has been, it's been challenging in the way that, like, it's getting to a stage now where I am falling into bed every night. Like, I am really tired at the end of every day. You know, I just, the amount of expenditure that you're doing, like, you're walking, you're doing cardio, you're in the gym lifting weights, and then obviously you're in a calorie deficit too. So like, you are falling into bed every night. Like, you know, I'm going to bed earlier because I'm so tired. Like, it's, I remember when I was in college, I was doing an internship during the summer, but I was also working in retail at the time too. So I'd be working 9 to 5, then going into my retail job from 6 to 10. And that was a lot. Like, I'd be up at 7 in the morning, working till 10 at night. And I used to fall asleep in my work uniform some nights and have to wake up and have a shower then and, you know, go in and do my internship. That's the last time I remember feeling this tired. So the last photo shoot I did last year was a walk in the park compared to this one. But basically, my coach wants to have me ready 4 weeks before we actually do the photo shoot. And it's just, it's to kind of, I spoke a bit in another podcast about carb loading. So we'll get to the desired look and he would be like, okay, I'm happy with how we look now. So let's start carb loading. So basically, that's where you fill your muscles. Okay, so carbs make us retain water, but they also, you know, fill our muscles. So like, when you're in the gym then the next day, like, you'll notice, like, you look a lot more defined and your muscles are bigger. And then he'll know, okay, well, that's how you're going to look on the day of your photo shoot. We actually have another little bit of work to do, but we have 4 weeks to do that. So happy days, rather than like doing it the week beforehand. And he's like, Enya, like, we literally only have a few days to work with here. We're just going to have to work with what we have. So yeah, he's really prepared. So I might have a few carb loading days between, you know, 4 weeks beforehand. So yeah, it's really the middle of May that I think, I suppose the worst of it is going to be over. So not the middle of May, sorry, the middle of April. And then yeah, it's just kind of holding out then for 4 weeks until the shoot. But I'm looking forward to it. I can't believe, like, you know, halfway through already, probably more than halfway through, if we're going to be ready by the middle of May. And it's flown by. It really has. Like, it's been tough, but again, I'm proving to myself that I can do hard things. But I also want to, you know, this podcast is about using the words I can't. And I used to always think I couldn't do things like this. Like, I used to see people stepping on stage. I don't think stepping on stage would be for me, to be honest. It was something I did consider, like competing bodybuilding. But it's such a time consuming process, and I don't need to do it. I don't have to do it. Like, it would be more of a, I want to do it, you know? Yeah, I'm happy to just finish this and see where things go. But I remember looking at people doing photo shoots and being like, are they mad? Why would someone do that? Why would someone give up X, Y, and Z? Like, why would they put themselves through that? But I actually love a challenge. I actually get a buzz out doing this. I get a buzz out looking at myself in the mirror being like, look at your hard work paying off. Like, you know, not so long ago, you used to call someone a psychopath for living like this because you used to live in your own head and tell yourself the same story. You couldn't do something like that. And that's why a lot of people, you know, don't see calorie deficits true, or they don't even start, because they're living in their head so much and they're using those two words, I can't. It's a fixed mindset. It really is. Like, that's, you spend your whole life living in your head. You're the only voice you hear inside your head. So make sure it's a good place, okay? Obviously, it's not going to be all rosy all the time. But, you know, you have to hear your voice, your inner voice every day. And, you know, if you keep telling yourself, I can't do this, I can't do that, that's what you start to believe. But imagine flipping the table and saying, I can do that, I can do this. You know, I do stand-up comedy for anyone who doesn't know, and I get quite nervous going out on stage. And, you know, nerves are good. So I always use that statement, nerves are excitement in disguise. And you always think the worst case scenario. What if this happens? What if that happens? And then you'd be surprised at how your mood shifts when you actually start using the words, what if I go out and I enjoy myself? What if I go out and I have a good time? Like, what's the best case scenario here? Instead of thinking the worst case scenario all the time. So when you are actually sitting down, you want to change your ways, you want to actually drop body fat, you want to lose weight, like, think of the best case scenario. What if I actually do lose the weight? What if I actually do succeed? What if I actually get to where I want to be? Because it's possible. There's people climbing Mount Everest with no legs, and you're trying to tell yourself you can't do this. This is what I wanted to jump into today. Using the words I can't, okay? And I want to tell you how I battled anxiety. I spoke about this in another podcast as well. I battled anxiety. I had my first panic attack when I was about 9 or 10. And I battled it for years, all through secondary school. I missed, like, especially in first year, when I was 13, 14, I missed a lot of school because I would let anxiety control me. I would let my mind bully me. Like, I mean, it would manipulate me. It would boss me around. And I used to think it was in control of me. And then, you know, after a few years, now there was no social media back then, there was no internet. I thought I was the only one in the world that was suffering this. I thought I was an alien. I thought I was a weirdo. I thought I had, like, a permanent mental illness and I was going to die with this. That's what I thought was going to happen. Like, there was times where I thought, I can't fight this anymore. And it was, you know, it was quite grim at some stages, but, you know, I eventually got through it. But I would constantly avoid situations that would make my anxiety worse. And that's the worst thing you can do, because you're living in comfort then. And, you know, my safe space was my box bedroom and my house. And it came to the stage as well where it's agoraphobic. So, for instance, when the midterm would come around in school, people would be excited. Oh, we get a week off school. But day one of the midterm, I'm already counting down the days that I have to go back to school. And I'm terrified. I'm like, oh God, 6 days now until I go back to school, until this whole rigmarole starts again. Because school was, it was a place where, you know, you're in a public setting. My anxiety was worse in public settings. I just liked being in a safe space by myself. And then, you know, I went to counselling and stuff like that. I remember going to the doctors at one stage. I thought I was dying and was hyperventilating. I remember some poor woman sitting in the doctor's surgery being like, do you want to go before me? Like, she said that to my ma, because I was just, oh, it was awful. And I would be creating this myself. I would be working myself up. I would be creating this whole mess because I was living in my head so much and I was letting my mind bully me. That's how powerful your mind is. So imagine if you actually start using the right words and a positive mindset and a positive attitude. Imagine what you can achieve. If your mind can do that much damage to you in a negative way, imagine what it can do in a positive way. Okay, but you are the boss here, and that's what I had to start doing. I had to start putting myself in uncomfortable situations. And I was like, oh, wait, it's not that bad. And the first time it was horrible. You'd be paralyzed with fear and you'd only be sitting in class. But the more I would do it and not sit at home, the more I would put myself into the classroom, the easier I found. And I was like, OK, it wasn't the end of the world. I didn't die. I survived. The worst didn't happen. And, you know, over time and repetition of putting myself into that situation, I proved to myself, this is actually okay. Like, this is not a harmful environment. You are okay. But the more you sit in your box bedroom and you stay at home and you miss school, the more that becomes your comfort zone. But you have to eventually move away from that and put yourself into uncomfortable situations, e.g. fat loss that's not familiar to you, you know, going out and walking every day when you've constantly been sedentary, going to the gym when you've never been into a gym before. When you are putting yourself into uncomfortable environments and you realize it's not as bad as I thought, when you do that over time, repetition after repetition, that becomes the comfortable then. And suddenly I look back and you're thinking, oh, years of eating shit and being sedentary, that's uncomfortable to me now. Like, I could never envision myself going back to that lifestyle. I just couldn't. I'd never look back because I remember how shit it made me feel. I remember how shit it made me feel to miss holidays because of my anxiety, to not go to events because of my anxiety. And I regret that so much because, you know, how much it used to dictate my life. But then I thought to myself, when it came to fat loss, when I eventually went to get my PT cert and, you know, the COVID stone took over me, like I was drinking, I was eating shit during lockdown, and I had my PT cert. I done my PT course before COVID and I knew how to lose the body fat. Like, the knowledge was there. You know, I was really interested in watching YouTubers, you know, fitness YouTubers. I knew everything there was to know about fat loss. Like, I could tell you how to lose the body fat. But for me, I was still stuck in a rut of being sedentary because of COVID. You know, well, I'm not even going to blame that to myself. I'm responsible for my own actions. But I was being sedentary, I was drinking, I was eating shit, I was stuck in a really, really bad rut. And the thought of getting up and moving again, like I had worked in a gym and everything before COVID, and I was actually, I was doing online classes at home for the guy who ran the gym that I worked in. I was doing it for him. But I was still eating shit and, you know, I was only kind of doing a workout here and there and I wasn't really invested in it. It wasn't a lifestyle. It was more like a chore. I think a lot of people were stuck in a rut during COVID. But anyway, I knew what I had to do to lose the weight, but it was still an effort. I was stuck in really, really bad habits. But then what I did was I thought to myself, again, it's my mind telling me I can't do this. It's the narrative I'm telling myself. I'm choosing to be the lazy bitch. No one's making me be the lazy bitch. So what I did was I had to start doing stuff that was uncomfortable. I had to get up and start going walking again on a daily basis. I hired a coach. And again, they don't do the work for you. You have to do it. They'll give you the roadmap and they'll tell you how to get there, but you have to do the work. And I would get up every day kicking and screaming, you know, and I would tell myself, I can do this. Like, I'm not giving myself the option to not do it. Or did I word that properly? The option to not do it isn't an option, okay? There's only option A and that's doing it. So, for example, when I used to tell myself, I can't go on holiday, I can't leave this house, I was telling myself that story where, oh, I can't go to the gym today, oh, I can't go on a walk because of this, because of that. Every time I give in to that voice, it gets stronger and I'm staying in my comfort zone. But I knew I was going to have to get uncomfortable. I knew that I was going to have to get uncomfortable. I was going to have to get up and go walking when I didn't want to go walking. I was going to have to go to the gym. This was all very alien to me because I had spent most of lockdown not doing a whole lot. So I was stuck in a rut. I was stuck in bad habits. But in order to develop a habit, you have to become uncomfortable. You have to do things that are unfamiliar. And it's going to feel unfamiliar and it's going to feel uncomfortable. But with repetition after repetition, same way you train a muscle, repetition after repetition, doing a squat for 6 months, 30 times a week, that's eventually going to grow your quads and your bum. You know, with repetition, it's not going to happen overnight. And I knew that I had to accept that this is not going to happen overnight. There's a long road ahead. But every time you lie on that bed in the evening and you still have 5,000 steps ahead of you and you say to yourself, oh, just not tonight, I'll go for 10,000 steps tomorrow. You are feeding that comfortable inner voice. You're choosing comfort again. But the more you challenge that and say, no, like, I'm going out and I'm getting my steps. Like, it's the option to not do it isn't there. Like, it's not on the table. Like, I'm doing it and that's it. That inner voice, that inner negative voice gets smaller, it gets weaker. And then again, after repetition, that becomes your new normal. That literally becomes your new normal. And that's eventually what happened. And I didn't look back then. And I do, you know, thank my coach because I have someone to be accountable to every week. And I know that is key to me being where I am today. It's someone to answer to on a weekly basis because I'm human too. Like, I need accountability also. But the whole lying on the bed, I had to start talking to myself as if I was my parent. You know, I had to bully my mind into thinking, this has to change. Like, you're lying on your bed. Okay, you're going. I basically had a holiday booked. Say this is March. I had a holiday booked for the August. Okay, so I had a good few months ahead of me, and I wasn't just getting in shape for holiday, but I use it as, like, I suppose, a point to work towards. Okay, so I have this outfit that I'm after buying for my holiday, and I want to look great in it. And basically, visualization is key. It is. It's visualizing yourself in that outfit, a pair of denim shorts or a dress or something. And, you know, you've tried it on and you're like, I don't feel confident in this. And you're like, right, it's my goal to fit into this like a glove by the time this holiday comes around. And I want to feel confident. I want to feel lovely. Like, have something like that. Visualize something. Visualize yourself like that. That was a huge key. Do you know what even a key to me sticking to my photo shoot prep is? It's picturing the reel, the Instagram reel that I'm going to make. And I know that sounds very superficial, but sometimes I hear songs on TikTok or I hear songs on Spotify. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's going to go great with the reel I'm going to make, like the before and after reel, that I can look back on that and be like, you know, look at you 2 years ago, 3 years ago, you were stuck in a rut. Now look at you. Look at you. You look so strong. Like, you look so fit and healthy. Like, that's my visualization cue. That's what I think of on days where I don't want to do my cardio. You know, because I am human and I do still feel some days I'm too tired. But again, I don't give myself the option. But however, let's rewind again back to when I started this. So I was using my anxiety, my experience with anxiety, to remold my brain, because you can remold your brain. You can. It's literally like a ball of dough, and how you speak to it, you know, you can rewire it. You can rewire it to your advantage, but it takes time. And I think some people aren't aware of this. I think some people think, oh, well, this is the hand I was dealt in life, so I just have to deal with this. Like, the hand you are dealt in life, that's either going to make you or break you. You're either going to use it as an excuse not to do anything with your life, or you're going to use it as an excuse for stimulation, you know, for motivation, to push you, to make you a better person, to break through the barriers, to not be a slave to your past or, you know, the hand that you were dealt. And that's how I used anxiety to basically mold my mind into this new lifestyle, this new me, because you can't have the body of your dreams and still live the life that got you into a hole in the first place. You can't do it. Those two can't exist together, okay? So basically, I would lie in my bed and I wouldn't want to do my steps. And this was the start of, you know, the new me. And I would say to myself, okay, lie in bed. You ain't going to get into that outfit for Ibiza if you're going to still lie in bed. It's not going to happen. And I'd be like, no, you know, every time I feed into this voice and I say, and I'm just going to stay in bed tonight, like that week, that inner, you know, negative me gets stronger and I'm slipping back into the comfort zone. But every time I'm like, no, I want to get into that outfit and I beat it, I'm going to have to go up out of this bed. And that's what I would tell myself, until eventually, week after week after week, it got a little bit easier to get up off the bed. Then I just say, don't even lie on the bed, because you know what's going to happen when you lie on the bed. You're going to get comfortable. Stay upright, stay vertical. Go to the gym, do your workout, do your steps, do your cardio, because you're not going to get into that outfit that you want to get into. And I beat it. Visualize yourself. What are you going to do? You're going to keep putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. Like, literally play it forward. You keep putting this off every time you get tired. What's going to happen? You're going to be standing on the runway about to board Ryanair flight, still the same way, still doing the same bad habits, and nothing will have changed. And you've done that way too many times before. You play that victim mentality. Oh, but this was coming up, but that was coming up. No, just do it and navigate around these special occasions that are going to be coming up in the meantime or the pipeline. This is a lifetime. This is a lifestyle now. This is how you live, you know, and you just have to navigate around these things that come up. Like, stop waiting, you know, for this event to be over or that to be over. This is just how you live now. Some parts of the year you'll be eating less because you'll be in a deficit, and then some parts of the year you'll be maintaining. But you can literally rewire your brain. But it's all about how you speak yourself. So stop saying I can't and start saying I will. So for example, when people say, oh, I don't want another donut, I'm trying to lose weight. Like, you are already setting yourself up for failure by using that instead of saying, I am losing weight. I don't want a donut, I'm losing weight at the moment. Like, when you're saying I'm trying, you're leaving the door half open to go back to old habits. You're not even believing it yourself. Like, how easy is it for you to twist your friend's arm or for you to twist your own arm when you go out to a pub and you're trying to quit drink, or, you know, you're off for a while or whatever, or you just don't want to drink, okay? Like, for example, myself, like, I'm off alcohol since Christmas time. If I go into a pub and someone's like, can I get you a drink? And I'm like, oh, I'm trying not to drink. How easy is it for them to twist your arm? How easy is it for you to twist your own arm? Because you don't believe that you're actually going to follow through with it, because you've probably failed a number of times before. So now you're going to be like, yeah, I'm just going to try again now. But if you actually start saying, I'm not drinking tonight, or even just, I don't drink, I don't drink. Just say that. Instead of saying I'm trying to lose weight, I am losing weight. Because you are using authority not only with other people, but yourself. Like, you're remolding, you're rewiring your brain. Like, I remember when I used to go to counselling and I had really bad anxiety. My dad actually suffered from anxiety, and he used to say to me, your mind is trying to bully you, bully your mind back. So what if this happens in public? So what? Big deal. And that negative inner voice, it doesn't happen overnight. It takes months of repetition, sometimes years. But you keep saying to that voice, so what? So what if I make a show of myself? So what if that happens in public? What's the worst that can happen? Will I die? No. Okay. Well then, you know, it's not the worst that can happen. If you keep saying, so what, like, so what if I go over my calories today? You're one meal away from getting back on track. So what if I had an extra slice of pizza? I have extra energy now to go to the gym tomorrow. I have extra carbs in my system. Like, if you keep going around saying, I'm trying to lose weight, you don't believe it. You don't believe you're capable of doing it. But if you actually say, I am losing weight, you are telling yourself this is happening. Like, the option of not doing it, the option of this not happening isn't even on the table. Don't even give yourself the option of trying to lose weight. You are losing weight. And then you start believing it. You keep saying it to yourself over and over. You keep saying it to other people. I'm losing weight. I'm not drinking. Like, there was a book by a guy called Alan Carr, not the comedian, great comedian, by the way. And he did a book about, you know, quitting smoking. And when you say, I'm trying to quit smoking, again, you're reinforcing the idea that this might fall through and I'm keeping one foot in the door just in case. But if you actually say, I don't smoke, you are literally reaffirming to yourself that you don't smoke. You have the identity now of someone who doesn't smoke, rather than, oh, I'm kind of like on the fence about it still. So, like, that's the way you have to start speaking to yourself, remolding your mind. You can rewire your brain. You can rewire it. It's there, but a lot of people don't understand they have that power to do that. They have the skill to do it because they're so stuck in a rut. They're so stuck in, you know, the habits that they've built up. The person you are today is a compound of the habits you've built up since you were born. Nobody's born like able to conquer a calorie deficit. Nobody's born able to succeed at something. Like, they have to start believing it. But think of it, you have to go all in if you want to succeed at anything in life. You can't just go 50-50. You know, or 50% in, like, I'm trying to lose weight. Like, you're only going in 50% there. Like, you have to go all in. You have to fully believe you are capable of this. Because if you're only half-arsing it and going in with half-arse attitude, guess what? You're only going to get half-arse results. Okay, so stop saying, I can't, and start saying, I will, or I am. Okay, you need to start using them statements, because you ain't going to build a habit. And a habit only happens through repetition. Like, it doesn't happen, you know, if you're going on holiday in 5 months' time, you're taking 3 days off here, 4 days off here, 6 days off here from the habit. A habit has to be done on a daily basis, okay? And yes, sometimes you're going to get sick. Sometimes a family emergency is going to pop up and you might not be able to be as consistent as possible. But what you aren't changing, you're choosing. So if you're choosing not to go on a walk 4 times this week, you're not going to build a habit, okay? It has to be done. And in the start, it's shit because the results aren't going to be immediate. I understand that. But that's why you have to keep showing up until eventually all those good habits that you're repeating on a daily basis start compounding into results down the line. But you're too greedy to wait. You're too impatient to wait that you actually never hang around long enough to see the payoff, okay? And that's why you keep saying, I'm trying to lose weight. Like, you have to start rewiring your brain and speaking to yourself in a matter of authority. So yeah, even if you do suffer with anxiety, this might help you too. But if you are trying to lose weight, don't use that statement, I'm trying to lose weight, I am losing weight, okay? So that wraps up today's podcast. It's short and sweet. I can already start to feel my voice starting to get a bit hoarse now. So I'm actually going to go down and have my breakfast and lubricate the throat a bit. But yeah, I hope this podcast has helped. Remember, you spend a lot of time in your head, and how you speak to yourself on a daily basis over and over again, repetition after repetition. I can't do this. I can't do that. That's what you start to believe. But yeah, your brain is like a ball of dough, and you can rewire it. You can mold it into however you want, but you just have to be willing to do it and you have to be patient. Okay. But I hope you have a fantastic week, and I will see you in the next one.